Well, I want to talk about your committee in particular, the Tourism and Outdoor Recreation Committee. This really fascinated me. I was looking at some federal agency statistics, and although people of color make up nearly 40% of the U.S. population, if you look at those who visit our national forests and our national wildlife refuges and national parks, it's 70% white people. While Black people remain the most dramatically underrepresented group in these spaces. Let's talk about your committee and what you see are really the obstacles that keep people of diverse backgrounds out of the outdoor areas and out of outdoor recreation and tourism. What have you identified as those barriers, and how do you plan to, you know, tackle them?
Yeah, so first off, those statistics that you referenced, they are a problem for sure. Another problem is that we have not made them our problem as communities that are in close proximity to these national parks. And that's something that we need to change. The Tourism, Marketing, and Outdoor Recreation Subcommittee is focused on exploring ways that we can be more welcoming to people of color on these or in these recreational amenities, whether they be trails or ski slopes or national parks. And we've come to recognize that the lack of representation among people of color in these outdoor spaces is in itself a barrier. It doesn't send a message of welcome. The Local Tourism and Prosperity Partnership is involved in the Tourism, Marketing, and Outdoor Recreation Subcommittee as well. And TAP is exploring ways that it can help. For example, TAP oversees, as we all know, the operation of the Ice Lab at Western. Mm-hmm. In the second Outdoor Industry Accelerator at Western during second quarter of this year, includes an effort to recruit underrepresented groups. This is going to be through a partnership with Camber Outdoors. Camber Outdoors is a nonprofit that works to improve diversity, equity, and inclusivity within the outdoor industry specifically. But this all being said, we recognize that meaningful DEI work goes much deeper. You know, it's not simply something that, you know, you include a certain representative of a diverse community within your marketing materials and call it good. If a local recreation nonprofit or business, for that matter, is interested in marketing to, say, communities of color, perhaps they should start with diversity, equity, and inclusion inclusion training, or perhaps they should work to ensure that people of color are represented on their board or on their staff. Those are the sort of things that we're exploring as a subcommittee.
What kind of specific things can be done? I mean, what do you envision, you know, after you get that diverse voice on your boards, what are the types of projects that can be tackled to really address some of this?
Yeah, there are a lot of different directions that could be taken. One thing that we've talked about as a subcommittee that we would like to continue exploring is some way of signaling to diverse communities within that come and visit our recreation attractions that they are welcome here. So perhaps it could be a certain sticker campaign that, you know, gets placarded across trailhead signs in the Gunnison Valley that says you're welcome here. That could be an example. The other part that I think is really important is that we recognize the opportunity for connection and feedback that is gained in relationships with, say, Black, Indigenous, and people of color once they're serving, say, on a, you know, specific nonprofit board or they're represented on staff. They bring a point of view that we don't have currently. And I think that's one of the things that really is missing that we need to find ways to address in, you know, these among these local nonprofits that we're talking about.
Well, and I think nonprofits don't realize that voice is missing until that voice actually sits down on that board and offers a different perspective.
Yeah, that's right.
So let me ask you, when you learned of these statistics, were you surprised?
What I wasn't as surprised by the statistics, and I say that because, you know, you can see in going to, you know, a local mountain biking trail, or a stretch of river to go fishing, you can see the lack of representation among people of color. The statistics didn't surprise me. What surprised me is hearing from, you know, mountain bikers that indicated that they really saw a barrier in the fact that when they came to a local trail, nobody looked like them. And hey, I think that's one of the things we really need to take part as a community.
Do you mind just sort of, just because we got a little garbled there, if you don't mind going back to your thought where you're saying you were surprised by, I want to make sure that everyone hears you.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily surprised by the statistics as much as I was, you know, hearing from the Black community, Black mountain bikers, for example, that one of the barriers that they see is that when they go to a local trail in the Gunnison Valley, let's say, that nobody looks like them. And that is something that we can and we should address.
You know, I'm curious, when you were talking about TAP being involved, I mean, are there plans or even is there talk about targeting marketing towards certain markets?
There is, but again, I think that what we're exploring as a subcommittee right now is that, you know, really marketing in and of itself isn't the answer. Like, you know, there needs to be diversity, equity, and inclusion training among these entities that are considering marketing before they go down that road.
So they really understand how to best get that message out.
That's right.
Okay, good. You know, I'm interested, how did this become a priority for you? Why did you want, you know, I personally am aware of your love for the outdoors and your background there, but why did this become a priority for you?
It really bothered me when I heard that that members of our community didn't always feel welcome in the outdoor spaces that I love, that I would love to share, that I do love to share. And that was something that I really wanted to work to train and to change. And I think that, you know, whether it be in mountain biking, skiing, hunting and angling, all of these components of the outdoor industry, I think really need to address that within kind of their own pursuits and passions.
Great. Thank you. Christopher?
I want to remind our listeners that this is KBUT's Community Matters. We gather here every 2 weeks with leaders in our community, and we open up our phone lines and ask you to join the conversation. Call us and let us know what your questions are for our two guests tonight. We're talking to Will Shoemaker and Andrea Schumacher of the Crested Butte Black Lives Matter Committee. 970-349-7444. Again, 970-349-7444. Call now before we shut down our phone lines towards the end of today's episode. You know, and I'm struck by listening to the two of you and appreciate the wide, the sort of broad scope of the Crested Butte Black Lives Matter Committee in addressing all these different areas in, opening up inclusivity in not just business, but also, you know, leisure, outdoor recreation. I'm wondering, Andrea, if the things that you're hearing will talk about people of color being more comfortable when they see you know, another person of color, or at least seeing an obstacle where there is a lack of another person of color. You know, is that something that you see as well for the business community as important? Because I know that you're focusing on business, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very important. I think people coming to our valley and seeing people that look like them across the board, whether it's outdoor activities, whether it's dining in restaurants, whether it's going into any of our local shops, all of that. I think that that's why we have so many different divisions of our coalition, is because change needs to be made across the board. I've heard, you know, through the survey and through some conversations, some people say, how can I hire, you know, more diverse when, you know, there's nobody of color in this town. And somebody put it to me so well when they said, that's just lazy thinking. Like, literally walk a little bit further outside your door. We actually have a very colorful community. And honestly, that is why this coalition started, is because we were given the gift of some incredible community members coming forward and saying, I don't feel seen, I feel discriminated against, I don't feel like I have equal opportunity. And that's where this all started. And I just want to reiterate that it was a gift that they brought that to the table for us to do this work. And the entire community is going to benefit from it.
And, you know, one of the things that has also occurred to me that when we talk about the, you know, outdoor recreation, culturally, even within that subculture, there are some quite notable cultural differences when you're talking about the difference between a skier or a hunter or angler or a mountain biker or, you know, the sort of different sports that are attracting different sorts of people. I'm wondering, Will, if I guess I'm wondering if your subcommittee will be broken up into other subcommittees at some point. But no, I'm wondering how you address that.
Yeah, it's true, but you know, I think what it speaks to me is part of the problem. We find these sporting cliques that aren't themselves very inclusive. You know, you think about the jargon associated with skiing, let alone hunting or mountain biking or any other outdoor pursuit.
As a fly fisherman, I'm just gonna claim that one.
Right. And the communication that surrounds those pursuits is intentionally exclusive. And I think that's one of the things that we as lovers of the outdoors need to really internalize and work to change. You know, you think about, I'll use the example of skiing, you know, and whether it be Bluebird Days or you know, the steeps that you're going to go ski, like the language is very exclusive. And if we really want to make an effort to be more inclusive, we need to recognize that. And we need to find ways to bring folks who don't use that language on a regular basis into the fold.
Hence that other voice that we talked about, hence the diversity training and really the acknowledgement that we are not all speaking the same language, right?
Right.